The third parak starts out with the first half of the parak dedicated to discussing the halachas of fertilizing a field during the Shemitah year. And on a high level, fertilizing a field is not an Isser D'oraisa during the Shemitah year, but it is an Isser D'rabbanan. It falls under the category of plowing, which is an Isser D'oraisa. That's how we paskin, because the fertilizer acts like plowing in the sense that it prepares the ground to be productive in its growing of the crop. So Mishnah Aleph needs a little bit interesting background, that at the time of Chazal, we used to have these farms, and on the farms they used to have animals, and they used to grow things as well in the way they used to fertilize. And some places still in the world fertilize this way as well, is that you use animal manure, animal feces, in order to fertilize the plants. And so they had the animals there making fertilizer, and that we used on the plants, but they weren't permitted to use the fertilizer during the Shemitah year. So what did they do to store it? And the concern here is, as the animals were making the fertilizer, for example, in the barn, in the fields, ideally they would move it away and put it in a place that it would be ready for use when they were permitted to use them in the fields. But the problem is, if you move the fertilizer out into the field too early, it looks like you're actually fertilizing your field during Shemitah. On the other hand, you don't want to keep that fertilizer in the barn because it's just stacking up. And that's not a easy way to manage things in a barn with stacks and sacks of manure all over the place. So when are you allowed to move those out into the fields, even during the Shemitah year, but not use it yet, and avoid a problem of Maris Ayin, that you look as if you are working the fields during Shemitah? So the Mishnah says as follows, Mishnah Aleph, Me'imasai motin zvalim lashpatos. When is it permitted to move out the zevel, to move out the manure and put it in heaps in the field? So you want to move it out of the barns and into the field. So we have three opinions on this. Number one is Mishayifsuku Ovde Avoda Divrei Rebbe Meir. What this means is the Shemitah year were prohibited to work the fields, but there would be those people who would violate the halachas of Shemitah. So there are actually two girsas in this Mishnah. It's Mishayifsuku Ovde Avoda, when those who work the field, Ovde Avoda, did the work during the Shemitah year, when they would stop. We'll explain what that means. Or Mishayifsuku Ovre Avera, because you're not allowed to work the field during the Shemitah year. We don't call them the Ovde Avoda. We call them the Ovre Avera, those sinners who are working during the Shemitah year. And what this means is, when they would finish fertilizing their fields, so we know that the fertilizer season is over during the Shemitah year, at that point it would be permitted for the others who were keeping Shemitah Kalacha, they would be permitted to move the manure out and put it in piles in the field, because it would be clear to people, fertilizer field is over, they're just moving it out there for use after the Shemitah ends. So that's opinion number one. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishiyivash Hamasok. Rabbi Yehuda gives a different test as to when the fertilizer can be moved out into piles in the field, when the fertilizer dries up. So at that point, that's going to be a later time in the season, and it's calling Hamatok, literally the sweet, calling the fertilizer pretty funny, but it's because indeed the fertilizer does sweeten the produce. So when you have good fertilizer, the produce comes out better. So that's why it's called Hamatok. And opinion number three, Rabbi Yossi Omer Mikshi Kasher, when the fertilizer dries up and thickens, literally a kasher, it has knots in it. So it comes and coagulates and congeals, whatever happens to the fertilizer when it becomes knotty. That is the point that there's not a problem, that people are going to be thinking that you're working your field during Shemitah, and it would then be permitted to move the fertilizer, to move the manure out into the field. We're not going to use it until after Shemitah, but we're also not going to have a Maris Ayin problem of people thinking that we are fertilizing during the Shemitah year, because we delayed for these time periods, each Shemitah based on its own, but they came out to be fairly similar, and at this fairly similar times that it was permitted to move the manure out of the barns. Mishnah Beis is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, where we said that at a certain point, it's permitted to pile up the manure in the fields, and our Mishnah is going to discuss the size of the mounds of the manure. And what we're getting at here, this is an important conceptual issue, is that we need to make sure that the piles of manure are large, such that it does not look like the farmer is actually fertilizing the field. So we're going to see that the larger the piles, and maybe even the fewer piles, the better, so it doesn't look like the person is fertilizing. Rather, he's just storing the manure to be used as fertilizer after the Shemitah year. So the Mishnah asks as follows, Akama Mizablin, what are the maximums, the minimums, what is the amount that can be stored in the field? So the Mishnah says, Ad Shalosh Shalosh Ashpatos, which means up until, and this is talking about in the field that is a lebeisea, the field that is 2,500 square amas, you can have up until three mounds, three large piles in that field, in the 2,500 square amas. And what are the size of those mounds of manure? Shel eser eser mashbelos. They are made up of 10 containers in each, so containers, the amount that you would use to carry out manure in, shall lesach, lesach, and each container is 15 seah. So each of those containers was actually the amount that a donkey could carry, so it's going to be 10 of those donkey loads for a total of 150 seah that is attained by, it's going to be 10 containerfuls in each of the mounds, and each of those containers is 15 seah, just a lesach, lesach, each lesach is 15 seah, for a total of 150 seah in each of the three piles. Now the Tana Kama adds on, mosifin ala mashpelos, if you want to, you can have even larger containers or more containers in a given pile. You're allowed to have larger piles than that. Vein mosifin al hashpatos. However, you're not allowed to have more than three piles, because once you start having more piles, it looks like you are fertilizing the field. So that's the opinion of the Tana Kama, capped at three piles in a base seah in a 2,500 square amma field, but you can have larger piles. Each of them can be larger. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon is more lenient. Af al hashbatos, not only can you have larger piles, but you can have more than three, as long as each one is going to be the minimum size required by the Tana Kama. Rabbi Shimon is of the view that because these are large piles, it does not look like you are fertilizing the field, simply that you are storing large piles and many piles in the field, and that, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not a problem. Mishnah Gimel is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, where we said, Ose Adam et Sadeu Shalosh Shalosh Ashpatos, the Beis Seah that is permitted to have in a field that's the size of a Beis Seah, which is 2,500 square amas, to have three mounds of manure in it. And Rabbi Shimon adds on, his leniency, Yasser Mikan, if you want to have more than three, Machatziv, Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says it's permitted. There are different explanations what Machatziv means, or in fact, if that's the proper word in our Mishnah at all. So if we just leave Machatziv as is, the explanation is that Rabbi Shimon is telling us, Yasser Mikan, it is permitted to have more than three, even as many as the number of legs on a pot. That's Machatziv. In other words, there are more than three legs on a pot, no problem increasing over three piles. There are others who are gores that it shouldn't say machatziv, but rather mutar. So it would read yaster mikan mutar divrei Rabbi Shimon. If you want to have more than three, it's permitted. Or there are those that take out the word totally and just have yaster mikan divrei Rabbi Shimon, that you indeed can have more than the three according to Rabbi Shimon. However, v'chachamim osrim chachamim, as we saw in the prior Mishnah, say you can only have three piles of manure in a field the size of a Beis Seah. However, an exception to the rule that you would be permitted to have more than three is Ad Shi'a Mikshlosha, until you dig under the ground three tfachim deep. In other words, that pile is not right on the surface of the ground, but it starts underneath. So it's clear to everyone that you're keeping that pile for storage. That's because it's underground and it's being stored. So it's recessed part of it. Or until it's sitting on top of something that is three tfachim high. So either way, it's clear that the intention is not to use that manure now to fertilize the field. So in that situation, Chachamim would say it's permitted to have more than three. Continuing, Ose Adam et Zivlo Otsar. This is an interesting thought. We said three. In fact, the Mishnah tells us if you want to have fewer than three, you can even have one massive pile equal to the size of the three smaller ones that we required. You don't have to have three smaller ones. it'd be permitted to combine them all into one massive one. So that's Osa Adam et Zivlo. You can make your manure Otsar into one large, massive pile. Nonetheless, Rebbe Meir Oser, Rebbe Meir says that's prohibited. He's concerned if you have such a big mound, it looks like you're fertilizing the entire field with it. So in order to make it clear that your massive mound is not there to be used as fertilizer during the Shemitah year, he says that the same thing can be done as we just saw in the prior clause in our Mishnah, Ad Shiyamik Shlosha or Ad Shiyagbia Shlosha, until underneath that mound is recessed, three tefachim into the ground, so you dig in the area underneath that mound, three tefachim, so it starts in the ground, so it's clear you're not using it to fertilize right now, or unless it's on something that's raised, three tefachim, again, it doesn't look like you're using it right now for fertilizer. And continuing, what happens in a situation where indeed you want to be taking out the manure and putting it piles in the field, but you don't have enough, as was required in the prior Mishnah? You have less than what we required with the 150 Seah in each of the three piles. So the Mishnah says as follows, Ha'ilo davar muad, if you have less than necessary for any given pile, mosif alav aholich, it's still permitted to move those piles out and just add to them with the intention of getting up to the required minimum, the 150 seah in it, over time as the cattle produces more manure. Nonetheless, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Oser. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is concerned there because it's going to look like a small pile that's causing a Maris Ayin problem. People are going to think indeed that you're fertilizing the field because you don't have a large pile there. So what he says is we have a solution, very similar to the solution that we mentioned twice already in our Mishnah, Achi Amik Shlosha, Hoachi Agbia Shlosha, unless, because it's a small mound, what you would have to do to make it clear to people that you're not using it as fertilizer is to recess it three tefachim or to elevate it three tefachim, or he brings another solution, o ad shiyiten al hasela, or unless you put it on a stone, a large stone, because people see if it's on top of a stone, stones aren't something that you can fertilize in order for it to grow, so it will be clear as well if it's on top of that stone, on top of a boulder of some sort, that also it's being used for storage and not to be used as fertilizer during the Shemitah year. Mishnah Dalet continues with the situation where the farmer does not have space, as we've been assuming, to have the animals in one area and the fields in another area. And at a certain point, we've been discussing when the farmer wants to take the manure and put it out in the fields. Those were separate areas. However, what happens when the farmer has only the same area and he grazes his animals in the fields? And the concern here is that indeed they are going to be fertilizing the fields as they are simply living there and eating there. So what we're about to see is there's a certain structure that's permitted that the farmer would allow the animals to be in the fields, and there are two major qualifications to this. Number one, it can't be his intention that he's fertilizing the field. He simply has no option in this because the animals have to be in the field. So what we'll see is that it's not his intention, and although it's going to be fertilized along the way, he will, at the end of when the manure is full in the field, he's going to have to heap him up, as we've been discussing, and put it into the mounds. So that's all required. Requirement number one. And requirement number two is that we cannot have the animals roam freely over the entire expanse of the fields, but rather we have to confine them somewhat in a limited area. So we're going to start out the Mishnah, and the Reish is going to be talking about someone who has a fairly large field. And it says as follows, Hamidayer et Sadeu, somebody who wants to enclose his animals, so he wants to put a pen up in his field. So we have the animals that are going to be in the field. So what has to be done is Oses Sahar LeBesa Asayim. He makes a Sahar, which is an enclosure, the size of a Besa Asayim. We've been talking about a Beseah, which is 2,500 square amas. Double that size is Besa Asayim, which is 5,000 square amas. So what he does is he makes an enclosure the size of 5,000 square amas. And when that area is full, so that area has four sides to it, what he's going to do is he's going to uproot three sides, and he's going to move those three sides to the opposite side of the standing wall that is going to stay. So, for example, he has a middle wall, and on the left side of it, he has the enclosure with three additional walls. He's going to leave that one wall standing, and he's going to build, instead of the three additional walls on the left side. He'll build it on the right side now and have an adjacent enclosure with that one wall that is standing where it was originally. So what he's going to do is Oker Shalosh Ruchos Umaniach Es Haemtza. He's going to uproot three walls on one side. He's going to leave that middle one, and he's going to rebuild that enclosure on the opposite side. And the end of the day, Nimsa Medayer Beis Ar Baasin, what he's doing is he's having the enclosure built twice. The first time it's 5,000 square amas, and then it's on the other side of that standing wall, another 5,000 square amas for a total of 4 Beis Seah. So that's Arba Asin. So that's how it's going to work. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he's more lenient. He says, Beis Shmon Asin, you can do it multiple times. You can't only do it. You hear we did the enclosure once, and then a second time, you can do it actually 4 times for a total of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Beis Shmon Asin. You can have it for 8 Beis Seah, so you can do it 4 times over, and that's going to be able to cover the field with much more manure. But again, we have to keep an enclosure, and we can't have them running throughout the field. Now we're going to talk about how about if you have a small field. So Haisa Kol Sadeu Beis Arba Asin. What if your entire field is only 4 Beis Seah? So that was the Tana Kama who was said you can only plant up to that amount, but my entire field is 4 Beis Seah. So I can't, if I do it twice, 2 Beis Seah and 2 Beis Seah, I'm not leaving anything vacant. People are going to think I'm fertilizing the whole field. So the Mishnah says, Mishayer Mimena Miktsas Mipnei Marasayin. What I have to do in my entire field is 4 Seah. I cannot do the same structure that we talked about, either according to the Tana Kama or Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, doing 2 Beis Seah at a time, because then I'm going to max out. I'm going to do 2 Beis Seah and then 2 Beis Seah, and the entire field is going to be covered with manure. That's Marasayin. That's going to have people thinking I'm fertilizing my entire field. So I have to leave a small part of the field blank. I can't include the animals in the enclosure in a certain area, for example, in a corner, to make it seem that I am indeed not fertilizing the entire field. That's not my intention. And continuing, whether we're in the Tana Kama, who says you can do 2 Beis Seah and 2 Beis Seah for a total of 4 Beis Seah. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, in a large field, you can do it 4 times, up to 8 Beis Seah. So what's going to happen in the end of the day is now we have those areas that the animals were full of manure. So in Motzi Min HaSahar, what we're going to do is we're going to have to take the manure out of those enclosures. V'nosin L'soch Sadeu K'derech HaMezablim, and we're going to have to pile them up in the field like the people who typically do this. In other words, as we discussed in the earlier in the parak, it's going to be have to piled up with 3 mounds of manure for each field that is the size of a Beis Seah, in order to make it clear we're not leaving that manure where it was to make it look like we're fertilizing the field, but rather we're removing the fertilizer from the enclosures that it was in and piling it up, making it clear to all that the intention is not to fertilize. Now we're simply storing the manure in piles for use after the Shemitah year. Mishnah Hay harks back to something that we saw in the first parak, that it's prohibited to remove pebbles, stones, small rocks, etc. from a field, because that is meant to improve the field, similar to plowing the field. However, the prohibition does not extend to somebody's quarrying, removing large stones from the field to use it, for example, as building supplies, because the intention is not to improve the field, but rather to quarry stones for a different purpose. But we still have another problem of marasayin, even if we're quarrying the stones for the proper purpose, not for improvement of the field, but it may give off the appearance that we are working in the field on the Shemitah year to improve it. Accordingly, we have to make it very clear, and that's what our Mishnah is about, that we are quarrying stones for the quarrying purpose and not for improving the land. So accordingly, the Mishnah is about to tell us that we have to make sure that the quarry is there before the Shemitah year, so people see it's a quarry, and accordingly they will understand when we are working in that quarry, it's not to improve the field, but to remove the stones for building supplies. So the Mishnah says that there's a minimum size that has to be exposed to that quarry starting at the beginning of the Shemitah year. So lo yiftach adam machzev betchila lesoch sadeh, it's not permitted to open up a quarry. For example, if the stone that you want to quarry out is covered up at the beginning of the Shemitah year, we're not permitted to uncover that stone during the Shemitah year. In fact, it has to be exposed before the beginning of the Shemitah year, ad shiyubo shalosh morbios, there has to be a minimum of three large slabs of stone. The size of the quarry has to be a minimum of the size of three large slabs of stone, and each of them has to be the size of shehen shalosh al shalosh arom shalosh. Each of those three slabs has to be the size of a 3 by 3 by 3 square amma amount of stone. So that is three slabs, each one 3 by 3 by 3 square amas, for a total shiur on all three slabs together. Esrim v'sheva avanim will be total 27 smaller slabs, each one being 1 by 1 by 3 amas. Mishnah Vav is going to continue discussing removal of stones from a field during the Shemitah year, but in contrast to the prior Mishnah when we talked about quarrying stones that were in the ground, here we're going to talk about removing a stone wall that is in the field. And on a high level, what we're concerned about is if people see somebody removing stones from the field, they're going to think, obviously, that he is preparing the land to be planted, similar to plowing the field. However, if it's a significant stone wall, to the extent that no one would go through all of this effort removing a stone wall just to plant underneath it, to plant in the ground, so it'll be clear to people that he's really removing that stone wall in order to use those stones for construction, that would be acceptable. So Mishnah Mav says as follows, Gader Shiesh Bo Eser Avanim Shal Masoi Shnaim Shnaim. If we have a gader, a stone wall, a stone fence, and it has in it 10 stones, large stones, that it would require the carrying of each one by two people. So you need two people to carry each of these 10 stones. In that situation, Hare Elu Yinatelu, it is permitted, even during the Shemitah year, to remove the stone wall. And the Bartanura explains that if we have these requirements fulfilled, that they are 10 stones and they're really large stones, it's permitted to remove not only that, but even all of the small stones in that stone wall as well. And the Mishnah says another requirement, Shi'ur Gader Asara Tfachim. This is permitted only if that Gader, if that stone fence, that stone wall, is a minimum of 10 Tfachim high, because then it's a very significant wall. And accordingly, when people see it being removed, they're not going to think you're simply preparing your land. They're going to understand you need those stones for something more significant. However, Pachos Mikan, if it's less than that, and this means if it's less in one of three ways, either that fence, that stone wall, is less than 10 Tfachim high, or it has fewer than 10 of those stones, or if even if it has 10 stones, but it doesn't have 10 that are large enough as we require them to be carried, so big that they need two people to carry them. So it's pachos mikan. If it's less than any of those three variables, machzev. And this is, there are different ways to read this, a little bit complicated, but what it's saying is machzev is the word that we had in the prior Mishnah to say this is a quarry. And in certain circumstances, as we saw in the prior Mishnah, we can quarry out of the stones out of the field if the quarry was uncovered and it has a certain size of stones. Otherwise, it's prohibited to quarry stones during the Shemitah year. So what we're saying here is we don't fulfill these three requirements of the stone wall being less than 10 tefach or less than 10 stones, or if they're not big enough, those three requirements. So it doesn't fulfill the requirements. It's not going to be permitted to take this stone wall out from here. It's going to be treated like a quarry that cannot be used. And v'gomamo at pachos ma'aretz tefach. And the requirement is going to be that we are going to only be permitted to remove the wall, not the full wall, but the wall up until a tefach. So it's going to be required to leave a tefach of stone in the ground, so it's clear to everyone that this is not in preparation of plowing in that field. So it comes out as follows, that if we fulfill the three requirements, it's permitted to remove the entire stone wall. Otherwise, it's not going to be permitted to remove the entire stone wall, only the top part of it, and we have to leave a tefach attached to the ground of that stone wall, so it's clear that we're not preparing the land to be used. And in fact, it turns out in the end of the day that when it came to the prior Mishnah that we're allowed to quarry, we are only allowed to quarry in the situations that the quarry was uncovered, it was exposed, coming into the Shemitah year, we are still going to be required when we quarry to leave a tefach at the bottom of that quarry so it's clear to everyone that we are not preparing the land for planting. And continuing, B'med Varim Amurim, what are all these restrictions that apply? In our Mishnah, also some say that applies to the prior Mishnah as well, quarrying all these limitations and restrictions. Mitoch Shelo, this applies when you want to quarry or you want to remove that stone wall in your own property. Aval mitoch shel chaveru, if you want to remove it from your friend's property, so you're removing stones from somebody else's land, mashu rotza li'ito, you are permitted to remove whatever you want, because people are going to know that's not your land. They're going to know that you're not working in that land to prepare it to be planted, but rather they'll understand because you're pulling out stones from somebody else's property that you're using it for construction purposes. And in addition, even if it's your own land, b'med dvarim amurim, what are we talking about? That we have all of these limitations in the prior Mishnah and in our Mishnah, the prior Mishnah about quarrying, and our Mishnah removing that stone wall, bizman is talking about we didn't start removing the stones before Shemitah started. However, if we started to remove those stones from Erev Shvius in the sixth year, so we're only going to be continuing what we started, removing those stones prior to the Shemitah year, Mashu Rotza Notol, you are permitted to continue even if it's in your own field, because people are on notice that you are removing those stones not for plowing the field, but because you want the stones for other purposes. Mishnah Zayin continues with times that stones are permitted to remove from a field, even during the Shemitah year, as follows, Avanim, Shiziasan Hamacharesha. If we have stones that it was literally, they were loosened by the plow. So in the sixth year, somebody was plowing and loosened up some stones. And the Bartanur explains, even if after the next time that they would be plowed, now it's the Shemitah year. So in the eighth year, when they were plowed also, they would be loosened as well. So apparently it's talking about stones that are fairly close to the topsoil or on the topsoil. Or during the sixth year, for example, or prior to the sixth year, they had been covered with soil and now they have become uncovered. For example, plowing in the sixth year, so they're uncovered stones. If at a minimum, there are two large stones that would require at least two people carrying them, so those would be clearly necessary for construction. That's why you have such large stones. We would be permitted during the Shemitah year to remove not only those two stones, but all loosened and uncovered stones as well. And continuing, now we're going to talk about if somebody has completely loosened stones on his property, when can those be removed? At the beginning of the Mishnah, we're talking about when they weren't completely loose, they were a little bit loose, so they would become loose, so they went uncovered. But now we're talking about Hamesakel et Sadeh, who somebody who wants to remove completely loose stones, they're loose already during the Shemitah year. No tel es alyonas, you can remove all the top ones as long as umaniach et hanogos baaretz, as long as you leave the ones that are touching the ground, because then it's clear to everyone that we're not removing all those stones in order to prepare the land to be plowed, because there's still stones that are being left right underneath, which are on the surface of the land. So we're not able to plow the land at this point. And similarly, v'chein gargel shel tsuros, if somebody has a pile, a mound of pebbles, or gal shel avanim, or if you have a mound, a whole pile of large pebbles, which are stones, no tel es alyonos, you're permitted to remove the top ones, umeniach es hanogos baaretz, on the condition that you leave those that are touching the ground, because then it's clear for everyone again that we are not doing this to start plowing right now, because the land is not able to be plowed because it still has a layer of stones or pebbles on top of them. And in addition, im yesh tachtei en selo o kash, if underneath the stones that were piled up, be it a pile of pebbles or a pile of stones, if they're underneath it is solid rock, okash, or even straw underneath it, hare elu yinatelu, you're permitted to remove all of the stones, all of the pebbles. Why? Because, again, we have something on the top surface of the soil that would prevent the land from being cultivated, from being plowed and planted. Accordingly, we are allowed to move all of those stones because it will be clear to the onlooker that this wasn't in full preparation of this land being cultivated during the Shemitah year. Mishnah Ches continues with activities that are permitted or not permitted to be done on one's land because they may or may not give off the appearance of preparing or working the land during the Shemitah year. So we're going to see two scenarios. Number one, Ein boni madregos api hage'ayos erev shvi'is mishepasku hagshamim. It is not permitted to build, literally, madregot, or steps to the valleys during the sixth year of Shemitah, before the Shemitah year, once the rainy season has completed. So what's talking about here is we've gone through the rainy season. It's the sixth year of the Shemitah. Coming into the Shemitah year, a few months away, and we have a lot of water down in the valleys that rain during the rainy season. And what we would want to do is build access to that. So we'd build steps down to them. That is not permitted to do in the sixth year, towards the end of the sixth year, because it gives off the appearance that somebody is building down access to have steps down to the valleys where the water is, because he's going to want to irrigate his field during the Shemitah year. Why else are you building down steps to get to the water? Water there is used for irrigation purposes, and the rainy season is over. You're not planting now. You're going to be using that access during the Shemitah year for your crops. However, when it is during the Shemitah year, after the rainy season has completed, then it's permitted to build those steps down to the valleys to get to the water, because he's giving off the appearance and he's really just preparing it for Motzei Shviis. He's not working the land at all here. He's simply building steps, and that's going to give him access to be able to irrigate his field in the year after Shemitah, and that is acceptable. Second scenario, V'lo Yismach Be'afar, we're talking now in those valleys where the water is collected, or it's a ravine or a certain stream that the water is running through. It says, Lo Yismach Be'afar, literally, don't build a dam, a barrier made of afar, which is from earth. And what it's talking about now is don't build a wall, for example, out of stones and mortar or cement or earth. Make a wall in order to create a dam in order to keep that water accessible for after the Shemitah year. That cannot be done because it gives off the appearance that you're going to be using that water during the Shemitah year. Aval osechu chayitz. What is permitted is he can indeed build a chayitz, which is a mechitza. Mechitza is out of stones, but without the cement, without the mortar, and that is permitted because it's not going to act as a total barrier to keep the water in, because he has not mortared or cemented it closed between those stones. So those are the two things that are permitted or not permitted, depending on when and how it's done. And in either of those scenarios, either the building of the steps or the making of the dam, the partial dam, the Mishnah says, "Kol evin shuyachol lipshot ed yadovid litla ev." Any evin, any stone that while he's building those steps down, or while he's building that dam in a permitted way, while he's doing that building activity, if he can reach his hand out and grab a stone, be it large, be it small, harezo tinas tel, it is permitted to do so, because people see when he is taking those stones, he's obviously involved in a permitted activity of building those steps or building the dam. So taking the stones, large or small, is not going to give off the appearance that he is preparing the land then to either be plowed or planted or worked or otherwise cultivated during the Shemitah year. Mishnah Tes continues the discussion of removing stones from somebody's field on the Shemitah year. And as we've seen, there are concerns of Marasayin, people thinking that we are indeed preparing the land to be worked, cultivated, plowed, planted during the Shemitah year. And we said that indeed there are limitations on quarrying of land during the Shemitah year and of removing a stone gate, a stone fence during the Shemitah year. And now we're going to talk about something that is a safe harbor, that when we have certain stones that are large enough, that it's going to be clear to everyone that they are going to be used in construction, and not that we are preparing the land to be worked on Shemitah year. These are going to be permitted to be removed even from one's own field. So the Mishnah says, Avnei Kasef, literally, shoulder stones. We'll see what that means in a little bit. Ba'os mikol makom, you are permitted to take it from all places, even your own field, where there is a heightened concern that people may think you are working your field. But because it's considered an Avnei Kasef, it is clear to all that it will be used for construction and not that we're cultivating the field. Va'kablan, somebody who is a kablan, a contractor, people knows that his profession is in construction. Mevi mikol makom, he is permitted to carry, even from his own field, even small stones, even if it's not an avnei kasef. People understand when he is moving stones, he's doing it for construction purposes and not to prepare his field to be worked during the Shemitah year. Now, we said if somebody is not a kablan at the beginning of this Mishnah, Avnei Kasef Baot Mikol Makom, that you can carry, if it's an Avnei Kasef, you can take it even from your own field, even if you're not a contractor. Be'eluhin Avnei Kasef, so what are these shoulder stones that are a safe harbor that is permitted to remove them from one's field during the Shemitah year? So we have two opinions. Number one is more machmir, kol she'ena yechola lihinatel ba'achas yad, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the view that it's the size of a boulder. It's actually not just a stone. It's certainly not a pebble or rock. It's like a boulder. You're unable to carry it with one hand. You need two hands, or you need to carry it on your shoulder because it's so big. So everyone is going to understand if you're carrying that from your field, it's for construction purposes. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi is more lenient. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Avnei Kasef Kishman, we're talking about shoulder stones, and Kishman as it sounds like. In other words, he's focused on Avnei is plural tense, that you can carry two or three at a time. And how is that? Kol Shen Nitalos Shtaim Shalos Ala Kasef, these are the type of stones, the size of the stones that you carry two or three at a time on your shoulder. Those are Avnei Kasef because they're large enough. They're not as big as Rabbi Meir's boulders, but they're large enough for people to understand that you are carrying them for purposes of construction and not for cultivating, preparing your field to be used during the Shemitah year. Mishnah Yud deals with somebody who wants to build a wall between his own personal property and the Rishus HaRabim, the public property that is right next to his personal property. We are not talking about somebody building a wall between himself and a neighbor. That indeed would be problematic. And as we'll see, the concern there is that maybe you're starting to dig a wall, you're digging down to create a foundation for the wall, but if it's during the Shemitah year, you may change your mind and decide to plant that land. But we do not have a similar concern when it comes to building a wall between one's private property and the Rishus HaRabim. The Mishnah says, Abone Gader Beino Ubein Rishus HaRabim. Somebody is building a wall, intends to build a wall between himself and the Rishus HaRabim. Mutar L'hamik Ad Hasel, it's permitted for him to dig all the way down, all the way till the bedrock. And as the Bartanura explains, we're not concerned that he's going to change his mind, because people typically do not plant in the areas of their fields that are right next to a Rishus HaRabim. They prefer to have a wall there. So it's permitted even during the Shemitah year to dig down and build the wall there. We're not concerned he's going to change his mind and plow it. And then he had prepared the ground for use after the Shemitah, during the Shemitah year. Or it could be a marasayin. People think that he's, but they're not going to have marasayin, is what we're saying, on the edge of his field if it's between his field and the Rishus HaRabim. So the Mishnah then says, Mayase ba'afar, what are you going to do with all the dirt that you dig up? You can't put it on your field because it's going to look like you are preparing your field for use during the Shemitah year. So the Mishnah says, the first opinion, Sovro birshus harabim umitakna, what you do is you can put it all out into the Rishus HaRabim, into the public area, and literally, and you fix it. What's going on here? Divrei Rabbi Yeshua, there are a couple ways to read this Mishnah. It can mean either that you can put it out in the Rishus HaRabim temporarily, and then umetakna means move it from the Rishus HaRabim to your personal Rishus. So if you do it in that way, it doesn't look like you're simply digging up for the benefit of your field. People understand you dug it up from underneath, you're building a wall, you put it in the Rishus HaRabim, umetakna, move it from the Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't look like you're fixing your field. The other explanation is, put it into the Rishus HaRabim. You're temporarily, while you're digging, you're going to pile it up. But there afterward, you're going to use that dirt to fix the Rishus HaRabim. For example, if there are potholes or ditches and stuff like that in the Rishus HaRabim, use what you have taken from your property and fix the public areas with it. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua is of the view that we can put, at least temporarily, our dirt into the Rishus HaRabim, and thereafter either move it back or use it to fix the Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. You're not allowed to put your personal dirt into the Rishus HaRabim, even on a temporary basis. And he says, Kederach Shein Mekalkalim Rishus HaRabim, just like you cannot do a kilkul, you cannot be destructive in the Rishus HaRabim, meaning you, just like you cannot put your dirt temporarily, it's going to get in the way of people in the Rishus HaRabim. Kach lo yitakenu, you also can't fix the Rishus HaRabim. And again, he's saying one of a couple of options here, maybe more. Just like you can't be destructive on the Rishus HaRabim, you also can't do it with the intention of fixing the destruction, meaning putting your stuff there, even if you're tending to remove it quickly, you can't put your dirt in the Rishus HaRabim. Or he's saying, based on our other explanation, just like you can't be obstructing traffic in the Rishus HaRabim, you can't even put your stuff there with the intention of fixing the Rishus HaRabim, fixing the potholes and the like, because maybe people don't want you to do that. Maybe people prefer it the way it is. So there are different explanations of what's going on here, but the bottom line is Rabbi Akiva doesn't want you to put your dirt in the Rishus HaRabim, whatever your intention is thereafter. So based on Rabbi Akiva, Mayase Be'afra, the Mishnah asks, so what are you going to do with the dirt when you dig it up in from your field? Because you shouldn't be putting it on your field. It looks like you're preparing your field for use during the Shemitah year. So Rabbi Akiva answers, in fact, you can put it on your property, but you have to do it just like, as we explained before, the people who want to take the manure out from their animals and they would put it on the field. We said we have a way to do that. If you pile it up in large piles, if you put three piles, each one with a minimum size, then it's clear to everyone that you are not putting the manure that we were talking about onto your field to fertilize it, but rather you're simply storing it here. So too, we would treat this dirt that you're digging up to build that wall. You want to build a foundation for a wall next to Rishus HaRabim. Dig it up, and if you put it in three large piles, it's clear to people that you're not spreading it out over your property, but that you're simply storing it there. And the Mishnah then continues that we have the same machlok as between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. And we said this during the Shemitah year, can you put your dirt into the Rishus HaRabim or not? With Rabbi Yeshua says you can put it into the Rishus HaRabim temporarily. Rabbi Akiva saying you can't even put it into the Rishus HaRabim temporarily. That same machlok, it applies during non-Shemitah years. V'chein achofer bor, if somebody is digging a pit on his property, v'shiach, a ditch, that's a long bor, pit is round, and a bor is round, and a shiach is a longer ditch, umeara, or if he's building a cave, that's something that's covered. And we have that same machlokis, is it permitted to put your dirt into the Rishus HaRabim or not? And the Bartanura explains this. Rabbi Yeshua says, Sovra Rishus HaRabim, you can put it into the Rishus HaRabim as long as thereafter you still can, acharkach, you remove it thereafter. And Rabbi Yekiv would say, even you indeed can, afal pishadato letak, and even if your intention is to fix it thereafter, you cannot even on a temporary basis put your dirt into the Rishus HaRabim.